Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We welcome you in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call, and we are certainly glad to have you aboard tonight. We've got a great program lined up for you. It's part 7 of the pyramids in 20 and 12, and the unfolding. Tonight we got to go in and clear up some of the confusion that the world has got going. That is, we need to come to the reasoning of what is known as the thousand-year reign. When is it going to happen? A lot of confusion on it. Brought to you courtesy of those who would have you to believe a lie and be damned. And that meaning that they're predicting a very popular thing that we're going to talk about. So you stick around here. Right after our introduction, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, that song right there is very popular. It's an old-time hymn right out of the hills here of Tennessee, written and sung around the world. But is it true? Is he coming back to rapture people out to fly away? That's the question we're going to talk about tonight. Now, it's a very popular end-time and timeline table. The premillennial view that teaches that Christ is going to come unexpectedly and take all of the believers to heaven where they can fly away. Then following the rapture, a 7-year period of tribulation will take place on earth. And after the tribulation, Christ will come back and reign on earth for 1,000 years. And then he's going to leave again, probably going to get another resurrectional rapture and take that gang with him. And then Satan is going to be loosed out of the prison after 1,000 years. Have you ever? I'm telling you, people can get away with teaching anything that tickles the ears. So we're going to clear some of this doctrine of the 1,000 years up. We've got to hear the truth. And by hearing the truth and understanding the truth and standing for the truth, we can have peace with our Father. We can know what's going on. Now, in the Bible, in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, now we've covered this briefly in this series, but I want to go back to it at this point and point out to you some of the misconceptions and tell you where the people that teach you the rapture are false. It's not going to happen. Yahweh's going to leave his bride right here in his people, the spirit of his bride. The bride itself has been raptured out. Now, there was a rapture prior to the end of the world. We're going to give you a sequence and see if you can agree that it lines right up with the Scriptures. There's nothing complicated about it. It is the confusion. Now, the Bible says where there's ever evil work, there's confusion. Now, notice this. The highly publicized teaching in the religious world, accepted and adopted, if you will, by two-thirds of the churches and the church world today. The rapture. It's coming. The kingdom of God on earth is about to be established. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and Christ said to his disciples, there'll be some of you standing here that won't see death till you see the kingdom of God coming on earth. Or did it come? Because these guys are long dead and still in their grave, according to some. So, when's it coming? When is the kingdom going to be set up? Let's go back to the day of Pentecost. See, this is a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is not a flesh and blood kingdom. It's not going to be that way. If it was, his disciples would fight. My kingdom is not of this world. It is a kingdom that rules from on high. The Bible talked about the Son of Man coming as a bridegroom. Now, did he come? Yes, he did. Did he get him a bride? Yes, he did. And the people say, well, yes, he did, because we're the bride. Well, we can't be the bride and the children of the bride at the same time. We've got to be one or the other. Now, let me show you the sequence of the resurrection. Christ, the first fruits. Now, that's the resurrection. Well, has he done got the first fruits? If you don't have part in the first resurrection, you ain't going to have part in the second. He had to get him a bride. And here in Luke 12:38, he mentions, or 36, he mentions to the disciples, the apostles, he tells them, they basically ask what they were to do. Well, he said, well, you just stick around here and preach and teach everybody that the bridegroom is coming from the wedding. Now, I didn't write this Bible, I just believe it. There's that scripture here in Luke 12:36, where he said to be expecting that the Son of Man is coming back to earth with his bride. Now, he had to get her, the bride, out of the first resurrection, and he's going to reign with her according to the Bible. It tells you fundamentally the things that are mentioned. So, notice this. It mentions, in the only chapter that it's mentioned in, that he's going to reign 1,000 years, is in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, preachers, modern preachers, say that because of the emphasis of placed upon the subject, you would think that they have found 10,000 scriptures with clearer or more advanced calculations that they could prove their doctrine, and they don't. They do not find one scripture outside of a future reign. It talks about they ruled and reigned, not we rule and reign. Now, you'd have them to believe that he's coming back to reign 1,000 years, and I gave you the sequence and the events up there to start with. At the introduction of the program here tonight. Now, see, this is part of the deception of Satan when he comes upon the earth. His coming is going to be literally taken, his first coming, Satan's first coming. Now, Christ has already been here. Would you believe that? And you say, well, yes. Or did he resurrect? Yes. Did he get some first fruits out of the earth? Yes. Did he take them to heaven? Yes. Are they going to reign with him 1,000 years? Yes. Well, is one day 1,000 years and 1,000 years one day? Yes. So then don't go to jumping. Well, that's been over 1,000 years since he raised, and if you're right, Pastor Buddy, then the sequence is out. He's got to reign 1,000 years. They literally believe that 1,000 years is 1,000 years. In other words, in the year 2000, it will be 3,000 that he'd reign here upon earth in a bodily form, or all this has to be spiritually. It does not mention a bodily resurrection during the 1,000 years. It does not mention a reign of Christ on earth. It does not mention the literal throne of David being set up. It does not mention Jerusalem or Palestine, like the church is teaching. It does not mention us. It mentioned they lived and reigned with Christ. This is the first resurrection. It does not mention that Christ will be on earth. When you see him coming in the clouds with power and great glory, the earth will melt with fervent heat, according to the Bible. This is Peter's teaching. He's going to appear in the heavens, and then the earth is going to melt with intense fervent heat. And the elements are going to melt. We're going to have an instant new world, or a new heaven and a new earth. So, on what grounds can anyone teach a doctrine from the passage that is not mentioned in the way that they mention it? It's a twist. It sounds good. It tickles the ears, and people jump on something that sounds good. When you get the old rugged truth, you know, it don't go over that good. It ruffles feathers. Now, notice this. It's understood in a way that they figuratively understand it, in a way that it's supposed to be, properly, then you would understand that Christ is not coming back to reign 1,000 years, literally. It's figuratively that he's reigning right now 1,000 years with his bride. And in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, he's seen with his bride. She's in heaven. She's not on earth. So the church is about 2,000 years behind when they say, oh, he's coming back to get his bride. Don't they know? The bridegroom came in John chapter 3 and received his bride in the first resurrection. And they went to New Jerusalem, not Old Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. And so it's written that in the signs and the symbols and the premillennialist have to interpret the scripture or the chapter that there is going to be a literal 1,000-year reign with Christ, and it's not going to happen. It's not even consistent teaching, and it's a twist. Now, let me show you something. Notice this. The problem with their inconsistency that the premillennialist wants some of the terms to be understood symbolically and some literally. Well, you can't split it. For example, if you look at the problem, the term, there was a key. And I saw an angel come down with a key and a chain. Now, was that symbolically or literally? And he cast Satan into the bottomless pit. Now, was that a spiritual happening, or was it a literal happening? And he bound the dragon, that old serpent, and set a seal upon the devil, and we have then, we're seen in heaven, the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness that they had. Who were they? Well, if you look in the Bible for the evidence of someone taken out in the first resurrection with them, because in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 56, we find that the Messiah rose and came out of the grave. And many came out with him after his resurrection. After. That's one resurrection that he raised someone from the dead. And they went into heaven with him. They went into the heaven, the New Jerusalem, and they complained in their impatience. They wanted to know how long that they would have to wait until their blood was avenged by Satan and the evil ones, mainly Herod and the Edomites. So the Bible said that white robes were given to them. This is the bride now that he brought out with him, and they travailed. This is a symbolic resurrection, although his resurrection was real and a spiritual thing. It wasn't something that was seen back in Old Jerusalem. The saints that rose didn't go back down to Old Jerusalem. They weren't seen the next day running around and said, "Where you guys been?" "Well, we've been down in the grave, and as a man spoke our name, and we come up out of the grave." "Well, where's he at?" Well, we know that he went to heaven. And they followed Christ, the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body. They followed him out of the grave after his resurrection and appeared in New Jerusalem. Now, we know where New Jerusalem is, or you should. Now, here it is in Revelation 19, when we talk about, "For the King of Kings, he is Yahweh, the Mighty One, and he comes forth to battle." Well, he's reigning with his wife. He got children on the day of Pentecost. Everyone, I think, would agree with that. And he sent the marriage covenant. Whoever would be born to them, and whoever would accept him. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were born from above. That's what the Bible said. Now, we got 120, we got 30, or we got 3,120 souls on that first day. Now, the next day, or a little bit later, there was 5,000. Now it began to grow as sons and daughters were born, according to Joel chapter 3, that the sons and daughters were born. Now, you got to have a wife. He's got his wife out of the first resurrection. These are the little innocent children that were beheaded. All of them were beheaded by King Herod. And so Yahweh rose them up. These were the first fruits of them that slept. And so then, people are waiting on a literal thousand-year reign. It's not going to happen. It's going to come up on people unaware, and the one that's coming is not Yahweh the Savior. It is Satan the Savior. Now, he could figure out a rapture if he wanted to, because that would sort of fit the doctrine of the false church. They've been had. And so then, this Antichrist that comes on a white horse, I mean, what about a hologram and all this stuff that Satan can fake? What about riding into the earth with their great battle machines? What about the angels that were cast onto the earth and cast down out of heaven? They're no longer welcome in heaven. The devil, according to Revelation 16, chapter 16, verse 12 through 16, the devil has gathered his army to fight at a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, that's where we get the Armageddon thing. That's the tribulation, according to the saints. But the church is going to be up in heaven. And then after that, Christ is going to come again. after he raptures the church out. He's going to come and reign literally upon the earth. And I said, what's he reigning for? What is he going to teach us how to get along with everybody and love one another? Well, evidently he's done a poor job, because immediately after the 1,000 years is finished, Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison and go out to make, according to this one, the 16th Revelation, he's going to gather all of the kings of the earth and their armies and all of the believers that will support him. And you can believe one thing, he'll have plenty of supporters who will be deceived, because Satan, according to 2 Thessalonians, is going to come to earth, be accepted as God, and he is the God of this world. And he's going to have a temple built for him, which they're already doing that. And he's going to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to sit there as God. And then we're going to have a great battle. Because Satan is going to tell everyone that Yahweh's coming back, or he's not going to say Yahweh, he's going to say there's some other evil ones out there. You see, he took Yahweh out of the Bible anyway, so nobody ain't going to know Yahweh except those whose names are written on the Lamb's book and understand what's going to happen here. It's so deceptive that Christians are wanting to get out of here. They're so stressed. They will take any Savior that promises to save them. They'll jump on board. Like the 1,000-year reign, Armageddon is mentioned in only one chapter in the Bible. Revelation 16:16. That ought to be real easy for you to remember. But like the 1,000-year reign, its context indicates that it too must be understood as figuratively. If the battleground is a literal place, then the generals who fight for the devil are going to look like frogs, according to Revelation 16 and 13. Now, what do you think about that? Now, there was three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the false prophet and the beast. And, of course, the false prophet is already doing, he's working wonders in the church world. The Christians are so gullible. They won't pray. They won't fast. They won't sacrifice. They're too busy in the world. They go to church on Sunday at 11 a.m. and they're out for dinner because they're starved to death. So they can't hold them over an hour. And what can you teach a group of people that only gathers up on Sunday, and you people that gather on Saturday the same way? You don't have no understanding. You are blind, ignorant, fearful, superstitious, stressed. Your heart's a failing you. You want to get out of here. But Yahweh's people are looking for a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Wait on your master. Many of you will be killed. Talk about tribulation. These are the sons of Yahweh and the daughters of Yahweh that's going to be killed. But if you believe the church, you're going to be up in heaven, floating on the cloud, waiting on the 1,000-year reign. And then after the 1,000-year reign, instead of fixing everything up here on earth for them to come back, the Bible says Satan is loose on earth and he's going to wage war. He's going to literally wage war on the saints. And there will be a river of blood that is measured 200 miles long, according to Revelation 14 and 20. Well, that's the same chapter that the blood of the 144,000 was shed. These are they that were redeemed from the earth. These are now found in heaven. They're found there, reigning with him for 1,000 years. See, it's so complicated, but man wants to figure out a way to lull you to sleep and make you think you're going to get raptured, and you can go up there and sit around on your stool of do nothing, like most of you are doing right now anyway, nothing's going to change. You'll take the first ship out. And what if Satan is ready to oblige you? Armageddon really means the hill of Megiddo, which was literally in the valley of Jezreel, where a number of famous battles have been fought, and it stood historically as a famous battleground between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And so, spiritually, it's figured, as we're in warfare right now, with the 1,000 years reign going on, that you have a chance to get right, to believe the truth. And so, we know that at Megiddo, Barak and Deborah overthrowed the kings of Canaan. And you'll read that in Judges chapter 5, verse 19. Gideon defeated the Midianites in Judges 6:33. Saul was defeated by the Philistines in 1 Samuel 31:8. Ahaziah died of Jehu's arrows in 2 Kings 9:27. And Pharaoh overthrew Joshua in 2 Kings 23 and 29. So it's a valley world famous for all these battles. But in Revelation, it stands symbolically for the battleground where the army of God, Yahweh, finally clashes with Satan and overcomes him with the brightness of his coming. So when he comes, Satan is going to be in the actual place described in Revelation. It has no location on the maps of the earth. The battle is between righteous and evil going on right now. And righteousness in the end is the victor. And there's no 1,000-year reign after that. When Christ comes from heaven with a shout of an archangel, he's going to put down all of the rule, and Satan is going to be right here with the kings, according to Revelations, again, in chapter 16:16 of Revelations. And he's going to actually fight against the coming of Yahweh and his angels, because Satan and his angels are getting ready to make their grand entrance sometime in the future to take over the world, because the beast and the false prophet are setting it up right now, and they're going to go forth and gather the kings of the earth to help them fight against the coming of Yahweh. So the 1,000-year reign is now being fulfilled. When Christ came and arose from the grave, he bound Satan so far as limiting his power over sin and death. He took it away of Matthew chapter 12, 28 and 29. He gave Peter the keys. He didn't give him a literal key like the Catholic wore around their neck. He gave him a spiritual key of understanding to teach to the people, repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. And the Catholic Church ain't figured that one out yet. And they never will. There's been more people deceived with the mode of baptism of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, that ain't even what it says. They're taking the verbatim of, well, be baptized in the name of the Father. Well, Father's not a name. Be baptized in the name of the Son. The Son is not a name. It's a title. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not the real being. It's a spirit understanding that is spiritual, not figuratively or literally, that you'd have to go down there and baptize once in the name of Father, once in the name of Son, because Father and Son is different, if they're not one, and they are. But that's the problem. They don't believe that. They come out with a Trinitarian doctrine of bondage. But the sin was broken after he resurrected. Behold. All power. Well, now, that don't give Satan no power. But in the time to come when he's to be loosed, he will be given again all power and all lying signs and wonders, insomuch that he would deceive the very elect. That's the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be. So then Satan is already bound in the deep. We read that in Revelations in about the third or fourth part of this series. I want you to get an understanding so that when this terrible time comes, and it's coming close, that you wouldn't be deceived and run to Satan, because the Bible said, whosoever will not go up will be cut off. Well, guess who that's going to be? The people that know Yahweh, according to the book of Daniel. They're going to do exploits. They're going to expose him. He's going to be a counterfeit Christ and deceive with all lying signs. He's going to give that power back to Satan for a short time. Satan knows he's going to rule for a short time. And everybody that refuses to go up and worship him, now you're going to ride over there on those beautiful ships. People will want to go just sit in the seat and get a free ride. It won't be a free ride. It'll be your last ride. If you're caught up in all of this beauty and stuff today in the literal world, worshiping Satan under the guise of a church, which there's no truth hardly whatsoever in all of the churches in America and throughout the world. They've gone over to a 501(c) cause. They preach the correct political line. They preach false doctrine about the rapture, and they're not reined in for it. They're encouraged to preach it because Satan is coming to fulfill literally what they're preaching to happen is going to happen, but it's not going to be the real Yahweh that comes. It's going to be the fake Jesus. He's going to sit in the temple as Jesus. After the three spirits, or unclean spirits, like frogs, that would be Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, are fighting for superior. That's what's all about. We're having religious wars. The terrorism is because of Bin Laden, they say, started the war by getting a bunch of jumbo jockeys to go into these big planes and fly them directly into the 911 tower, we're told. And we got trained airline pilots that flew these things for over 20 years and say it's impossible for them to do it. You reckon that they might have been controlled by programming and through computer? They were all the type of airplanes that could be retrofitted with these computer programs to directly fly in. It's the only way it can happen, ladies and gentlemen. That's what happened. And Mr. Osama bin Laden and the Islamic people got blamed for it. And so that gave us a rise to go into Iraq, which is they killed over 2 or 3 million Iraqis. Weakened it so that they could get into the country and take it over and dominate it with military. Now we've moved from there. After we secured the oil fields, that's all we wanted anyway. And nobody mentions the oil fields of Iraq. Knows how that they've disappeared from the news. The Iraqi people used to buy gasoline for 10 cents a gallon under Saddam. Go over there and ask them what they're paying for it now under the United States crown. You'll see a big difference. So what we're having here, now we're in Afghanistan to control the opium trade. Yeah, we cover it all. Yeah, well, we deal with it all. We cover all fronts. So we're coming to the bondage of Satan getting power again after he's loosed out of the deep, where I told you in part 1 and 2, where Satan was bound under the dark hole, or in the dark hole, in the black hole, where the trigger mechanism for astrological loosening would come in a celestial event in the year 2012, and that's the point of the cross, and at the end of the 26,000-year cycle. So then, we've got a period when the church will, the real church, not the false church, will come under severe persecution when Satan is loosed on earth. The world will rejoice. The true people, the true saints, the sons and daughters that are born after the day of Pentecost, he's building his bride, or impregnating his bride. They're getting, she's getting pregnant, and she's bringing forth sons and daughters upon this earth even today as we speak. And maybe this message will overcome the devil and what persecution we've got now, because it is dangerous to preach the truth. And it's always been dangerous to preach the truth. And because they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, that's the ones that rose in the first resurrection. You didn't have nothing to do with that. You didn't get up. You are a candidate, if so be that you will make the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first one, meaning that if you have an understanding, you can't be deceived. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived, and you're going to get on the rapture ships. Oh, he's going to promise you liberty and promise you to go out there to that wonderful planet where he's on. And, you know, it's going to be overnight. The whole world will fall for him. He's going to be greater than any pope that ever lived. And did you know, by the prophetic utterance, and I've told you this before, that the present pope that is sitting on the pope for the papal seat or the throne is in the line to be the last pope to emerge. One more, Peter the Great. That'll be the last one. So after this one, we're going to have a short reign of a pope that will usher in through great deceptions, setting up for the Antichrist. This has to be a super duper pope. And they will win the hearts of the people. The three major religions will take part. They will join in building a temple through the compromises. Not for Islam, not for Christianity, or not for Judaism. It'll be for the cause of Satan, the counterfeiter, coming to deceive them, to make them believe that he's God. Paul said, as God, he will sit in the temple, and he will deceive even the very elect if possible. That's coming. Well, actually, it's right here, right now. So then, we are at the point of the crossing when these things could come to pass. The 1,000-year reign of Christ is representative of a full and a very complete period of time now in progress. Neither Satan nor any other force can alter the purposes of our Creator Yahweh. And so then Satan will play his part at the appointed time when he's loosed out of his prison. Now he's going to come. Now when it says a short time, that could be 1,000 years. That would be a short time for Yahweh, because that's one day. So then, we know that 1,000 years is a complete period. Yahweh knows when it's going to end. That's when he looses Satan. Right before his coming, Satan is coming to live upon the earth. He will be accepted. The church will not be in heaven. Christ is not going to come back after that and reign 1,000 years, because Satan must be loosened after the 1,000 years. You see that? And those who were resurrected are not us, but they. Meaning it was a resurrection past. I don't know how I can make it any clearer for you, but that's the truth. And people who will not come, as the Bible says in the book of Revelation, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. That was figuratively. After the battle, after Christ went into heaven, he and all of the angels refused anymore to let Satan live or worship or have any dominance in heaven. He was cast out. But the puzzle is, he didn't come to the earth immediately. There's a period of 1,000 years that Yahweh is going to give you a chance to accept him spiritually or to be born from above, as the Bible says. And so there's a time, because Yahweh is going to bind Satan in the deep. And now that we have the possibility of 20 and 12 looming, this is all recorded in the pyramids, which I plan to get around the monument of stone, the altar to Yahweh of Isaiah 19 and 19, holds the key. The end declared from the very beginning. And so then, Michael, the archangel, Gabriel, the archangel, they laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him for 1,000 years. That's going on now. After, he must be loosed a little season. Notice this now. Verse 3, and they cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, these pre-millennialists, they've got Christ coming up and down from heaven like a yo-yo. No scripture, just pure speculation, because it sounds good, and they've made it sound good. Don't worry, church, we're gonna be out of here. We're not going to go through the tribulation. Don't worry. It's a church that's been through the tribulation from the word go. Satan was angry at the church and went out to make war with her seed. Her seed. Not her. Her seed. Let me repeat that, and I hope you catch it. The bride is in heaven right now through the first resurrection with Christ, the eternal Yahweh. And when she travails, when they go to the love chamber, on the day of Pentecost, somewhere, somebody tonight is getting this message. It's opening up an understanding for the first time that they've ever heard this understanding to save them. Because you're saved with knowledge. You're destroyed for the lack of it. Satan don't want you to hear this message tonight. He has got a plan to deceive the very elect. Satan did, in fact, have access to heaven during the Old Testament era, because we know that. He wasn't bound and cast out until Christ had the bride ready to rapture out in the first resurrection and bring them out. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Revelation 6 explains it, that these are they that were beheaded. Herod beheaded 144,000. That's figuratively now. Again, it could have been more or less, but it, figuratively speaking, it was a spiritual happening of a figuratively example that he took 12 times 12 out of each tribe, resurrected them in the first resurrection, went back to heaven as his bride. You say, well, they're all boys. Don't you know that in the kingdom of heaven, There's neither male nor female. Haven't you got that much knowledge out of Sunday school? You know, when I say that Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge and because you refuse to know knowledge, you can hear it and still turn your head and say, oh no, I believe I'm going to heaven in a rapture. Show me one example in the examples of the Old Testament. Did those who transgress, did they go to heaven in the days of Noah? As it was in the days of Noah, the wicked perished from the earth. They were taken. Noah and his three sons, and you say, well, that was just a few of them. That's all that were saved. That was all that was redeemed. Think about this now. Get it through your head. As it was, there's not going to be a big log straight as way in there to get a few there be to find it. Don't think that all these churches that are saying, oh, we're going to heaven, we're going to be the preeminent ones. You know, if you come to their church and sign up and pay tithes for them, they promise you the sun and the moon and the stars and the devil himself to get you to believe it. Notice, there was a time when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh. And Satan came also among them, Job 1 and 6. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came also among them to present themselves before Yahweh, Job chapter 2, verse 1. The sons of God in Job is a reference to the angels that sinned, that he cast down. They lost their estate. They were cast out of heaven. After the war, Yahweh in the 11th chapter, I read it to you the other night in part 2 of our series here, Yahweh in Matthew 11, he said, today the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Nobody heard any gunshots, but he knew it. In his spirit, he groaned and said, today the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence takes it by force. And Satan lost the violent battle, was cast out and cast down into a dark pit, bound for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be loose for a little season. He's going to go out to the breadth of the earth. He's going to gather together all of those that he can deceive, all that he has deceived. And in the book of Revelation chapter 12, it speaks of Yahweh coming to set up his church. And it speaks that Satan being cast out to the earth, that he had lost access to heaven and went out to make war with the saints, those that love Yahweh and those that kept his commandments. If you think you ain't being fought today, you got another thing coming. Yet he don't have full power. The time when he's completely unbound and he's unleashed, you'll know that he's in charge. The things that you fear from the U.S. government, you've got more to fear than the government. The government, the U.S. government is just a little patty cake. Patty cake. Just a little old patty cake. Nebuchadnezzar, he found out that Yahweh can take the kingdom to the heavens and set it up, and he can also immediately tear it down. The United States is not the big horned beast that everybody's afraid of. Russia is not the big horn beast that everybody's afraid of. These nations on earth don't know what they're in for. They're in for Satan coming to this earth and would deceive all the kings of the earth, because they're going to work right in. He's on them from the day go. All of the governments, I hate to say this, man, it sounds, there's good people there. but they're controlled by an evil force that even they fear. Mr. Wilson said, I'm afraid that there's an evil group that cannot be seen behind the scenes that are working, and it's evil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Wilson said that a long time ago. And we're closer now to the reality of seeing Satan and his power come upon the earth for a short time. That's coming. And you know what he's going to do? There'll be peace in the valley for you. Oh, yes. Satan's going to come in peacefully. He's going to bring so many miracles and signs, deceiving wonders, that even those who know better will be almost persuaded. And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, these are the ones that were killed. These are the ones that come out in the first resurrection. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness, read Matthew chapter 2, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's going on, like I said, again today. As soon as that is over, remember, he said, after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he'll raise us up. Well, we are now past, I think officially, we're past the 2,000-year mark in 20 and 12, astrologically and astronomically. We're going to pass that time officially in the heavens. And then, after the third day, he said he will revive us or raise us up. What's he raising us up for? To fight the good fight of faith, giving us back the promise. Waging war with Satan. It's going to be a literal battle between the sons of light and the sons of darkness. I mentioned it last night on WWCR that the sons of light and the sons of darkness have no fellowship. You're going to see the breach widen, the gap widen, till it gets down to the Armageddon Valley, 40 miles wide. That's a figuratively statement. But we'll have nothing in common with the sons of darkness. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Tells you right there, ladies and gentlemen. Won't you read your Bible and study a little bit? It'd do a body good. It may save your soul if you would spend less time listening to the churchianity and the traditions and the fears and the superstition. They want to get out of here. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the 1,000 years is already going on. When that is finished, then Satan will magically appear. He's going to fool the people by saying, oh, we've been around a long time. And they have. They're the watchers, both good and bad. The bad one to come down and mix and mingle and sow their seed. They did, the tares. So it's just a matter of time. But you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him that called you in the first resurrection, on which the second has no power, out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I've got to close. I've got a very important announcement. Dave wanted me to announce that we'll go to the summertime, the springtime frequency, which will be 5-0. That'll be WWRB 5050. So we'll be switching on the 14th. If I'm mistaken, that'll be Valentine's Day. Anyway, it's going to be close. That's going to be sweet. 5050 is a good station, and we like to be on it. It is the transmitting jewel of the South, 5050. You'll get better reception going west, and because the days are getting longer, therefore, the daylight hours in the evening are going to stretch. And so we'll be switching to 5050. You'll not be any longer able to get us on 3.185. You must make a note if you'd like to listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call and WWRB 3.185. We'll be switching to 5050. Pass that along to you. Make a note, a mental note, as well as a jot it down in your radio log there, and you'll be able to catch Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call on 5050, starting on the 14th. Now, call me tonight. That is Pastor Buddy at 423-351-1082. You can write me, if you will, write me at the Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Now that's Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee. You can go to our website. Brother Bob is right now, we're rebuilding our website. We're making a brand new website, more user friendly. And I've seen it, the preliminary stages. Bob has showed me some of what he's doing, and it's marvelous. And it's a great leap forward. And we've got a lot of messages there that you can download, and you can go up and read the articles that we've got there. We'll be adding more. I haven't really had time to really work on the website. Bob takes care of all of that and the posting and everything, so he's taken a great burden off of my hands because I used to have to do it all. And now he does it exclusively. I mean, he keeps it up to snuff, and so we should, around the 1st of March, be able to offer you the brand new website, and the old one will be taken down, and the new one will be going up. Now, again, like I said, it's going to be more user-friendly, easy to operate, and we want you to make a note of that. That's 1, O-N-E, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, .com. OneYahweh.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you on down the line with the truth.